But tradition says that, teaches that once you have accepted Christ's salvation, you're born again with a new nature. Tradition uses John's gospel as proof. By using John's gospel at face value, one can see why. But looking deeper into what is said with the entire context of Scripture and looking at critical Greek forms, the outcome is totally different. By comparing Scripture with Scripture, the term born again has but one meaning, resurrection from death. And there's only been one person that has been resurrected from death, and that's our Lord and Savior Christ. And during Roger's study, he made a very important statement. He said that every word has meaning. Well, to those of us that rightly divide God's word, that is a fact that you can't get around, because we get into the Greek forms, and the Greek forms transcends anything that is written in the English language to make it understandable the way God intended for us to hear it, to read it. The purpose of the Holy Spirit by John is the presentation of the Messiah, is to say to us and to all, behold your God. And within the book of John, compared to the other Gospels, there's so many words that's used in the book of John that is not used in Matthew, Mark, and Luke for that simple reason, as John is presenting the Christ as the Son of God, as God Himself. The word verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, is used 25 times. It's not used in the other three. The word last day is used 8 times. It's not used in the other three at all. The word life, or give life to, is used 3 times. It's not used in the other three at all. But those are just 3 of the words that are coming up in John that aren't used in the first 3 Gospels at all. To give credence to the fact of how strong John's Gospel is over the other 3. In John 3, I'm going to read 1 through 13. And then I'll break them down, starting in the verse 3 after that. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto them, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye have not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. it's obvious to me that this entire reference is about resurrection. But yet, tradition teaches, or that they can't see resurrection within this scripture. And that's where those of us that rightly divide God's word just scratch our head and try to explain. But when someone has their mind made up, you can explain all you want. And if they're not chosen to see, they just won't see. But it's my prayer that somebody will hear this message and will be able to know the truth that's in the scripture. In verse 3, or actually, I use the term born again 2 times there, and one more time it's used in 1 Peter 1:23. Say, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Just wanted to put that in there to show that those are all the references to being born again. And note that every reference used here is dispensational to worldly hope. John, being written after Acts, is for the whole world's understanding and is truth for today also. To those who believe through Christ shed blood, in John 3:16. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The first form, except, when, well, Christ says, verily, verily, that's truthfully, truthfully. If the Son of God is looking at you and saying truthfully, truthfully, I'm going to believe every word out of this man's mouth. I, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except. That Greek form is eimē. It's two forms put into one. And the number is 3362, and it's if not, an example, unless, or before, but, except, or whosoever not. The term is before. It's supposed to be put here. Except, or before, a man. 5100 is tis. It's an enclitic indefinite pronoun. Okay, that just went straight over my head when I read that, so I'm going to give you the definition. It's some or any person or object, a kind of anyone, man, thing at all, certain, diverse, every man, one thing, all, partly, some. And an enclitic is a particle so closely connected to the preceding form that it loses its own accent and pronounced with it as one word form. And the indefinite pronoun is a pronoun that designates an unidentified person or thing somewhat out of focus. Example, anyone, someone, no one. So to put the proper wording into this phrase so far, it is before. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, before any man, anyone, everyone, either one of those. And then the B form is ginao. It's to procreate of the father, but by extension of the mother, figuratively, to regenerate, to bear, beget, born, bring forth. Ginao, in analytical lexicon, literally of man, is begotten. Begotten of the Father. Passive of the spiritual new birth, be born, regenerated, or begotten. See the note on Matthew 1, it goes through begotten 40 times. The term begotten or the word begotten is used, and every time it is the Greek form ginao. So when it is used of the Father, it is ginao, begotten. So in John 3:3 here, it says it is to be begotten. The man is to be begotten. Or blessed of the Father. So in the form begotten, in, let me read that as I got it wrote down. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, before anyone be begotten from above, cannot, is not able to. The Greek form is udunati, to produce a strong negative or prohibition, never, not at all, by no means, certainly not. Here it is used, cannot by no means be able to. And C is the Greek form eidon, implying the mere act of looking, but the actual perception of the object. So, John is able, saying that you can actually see the kingdom from here. The kingdom of God occurs in John, only here in John 3:5, and the critical lexicon has the kingdom of God as the royal dominion, including the power and form of government, with the territory and kingdom, the sphere of God's rule, and being then, at that time, present among the Jews in person of Christ. So, when it's used, when it says, see the kingdom of God, it is being present there with God in the kingdom of God, which is on the earth. Now, John 3:3, after all that is broke down, I hope and pray that you got it. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, before anyone be begotten from above, he is not able to, by no means, see the kingdom of God. So, he has to be begotten from above, from the Father, resurrected, before he's able to see the kingdom of God, as Christ is here on the earth. And the looking at begotten, in Revelation 1:5, I couldn't help but bring out this begotten. It says, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from among, from among the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So Revelation points to the fact that it's on the earth. And the first, it says, the first begotten from, from the dead. The is going to be spoken of quite a bit in another week and a half, because of the term ek anastasis is going to be used. It's another Greek form that is from among the dead, that is a future resurrection for the body of Christ. Another example of begotten is in 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Again, John 3:3, after it's broken down, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Very verily I say unto thee, before anyone be begotten from above, he is not able by no means to see the kingdom of God. And verse 4, Nicodemus said unto them, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And it just an obvious earthly question that he asked, because he didn't take into account what Christ said. He's referring to a mother's birth and not a father's begotten. Nicodemus misunderstanding uses the word gineo of the mother, and the Lord uses it of the father. Being old, as he's applying it to himself, he's referring to bringing it to a manly term, that how can a man go back into his mother's womb? Even in today's understanding, this verse is used to give credibility when read at face value without studying or just glazing through how traditional believers say born again with a new body today, and not understanding or putting man's understanding in place of God's meaning. When they just take the verse at face value and take for granted their preacher knows what he's talking about and not questioning anything, without searching the Koine Greek forms and searching out every aspect of the saying, and then knowing the exact meaning. Rightly dividing God's word allows you to see the whole scope of who, what, when, where, and why. Who it's written to is Israel, or the world. Who does the begetting? God. What is done is regeneration. Where will it take place? At the last day on the new earth. Why is it done? It's done for his good pleasure to those that believe on him. In John 3:5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Tradition teaches that this verse is a born-again verse, and as to when you receive Christ or are baptized, using the water aspect, dipped, dunked, sprinkled, or spirit, then you have been born again with a new spirit, and from that point you will have access to heaven at death. Tradition and new birth unto righteousness, i.e. through the agency of the Holy Ghost, sin is destroyed and the soul filled with holiness. That is tradition. But it's not true. When except a man be born of water, the water is udatos, from a root ugros, page 387 in the analytical lexicon. Of water and spirit, no article. The two words used, but one thing meant. Not two things, but one, by which the latter noun becomes a superlative and emphatic adjective determining and meaning and nature of the former noun, showing that one to be spiritual water, not water, but spirit. It is to be rendered of water, yea, spiritual water. Compare Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put it within you. This is talking about baptism. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. For the earthly things, because shortly he tells them in John 3:12, if I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So, just went over that except a man be born of water, that's supposed to be spiritual water, and enter into showing what the Lord meant in John 3:3. So this gives a stronger meaning as to in John 3:3 where it says he cannot see the kingdom of God, whereas here he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's the same meaning, just a different word, and Christ is saying that he cannot enter into the kingdom of God instead of see the kingdom of God. And he says in 5, after the correction, verily, verily, I say unto thee, unless anyone be born of water, yea, spiritual water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that spiritual water is not dipping, dunking, or sprinkling, whatever. That is the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Christ gives the two births as earthly and heavenly. The interlinear has it as has been born, and the Spirit is the Holy Spirit with the article. And his spirit is a fundamental law both in nature and grace. So in John 3:6 it says, that which has been born of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born or begotten of the Spirit with the article is spirit. In verse 7 it says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born genao again, or begotten again from above. In James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's anathem. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Christ here is giving a worldly example to express a heavenly gift. Christ, being both man and God, had the abilities that no man could possibly do to make himself not visible, and the people, and I thought this to be a good verse study to Christ being spirit passed by the people and knew which not he went for where he goeth in John 8:14. In 8:14, Jesus answered and said of them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I come and whither I go, But ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. And in John 8:56 to 59, Christ is talking in the temple and says, your father Abraham rejoices to see my day, and he saw it, and I was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so passing by. In verse 9, and Nicodemus said unto him, how can these things be? Let me read 8 again, and then go into 9. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said unto him, answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Well, Nicodemus is just old Nick, and he had to question Christ the second time. So Christ scolded him and said, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Nicodemus should know inquisitively about Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones resurrection. In Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14, I won't read all 14, but the Lord is talking to Ezekiel about raising the dry bones up and putting sinew on them. And I'm going to read from 9 down to 14, Chip. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. O breathe the breath upon these slain, that they may live. Now this is unheard of in Old Testament scriptures. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these are bones. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off of our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your land. That's an earthly hope. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Nicodemus should know this, him being a teacher of the law, and they should know this inside out and upside down. And then John 3:11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. We here is the prophets, John the Baptist and Christ. That testifies to bear witness. And ye is speaking of the teachers of Israel. And in John 3:12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven, only one begotten of the Father, born again, that's Christ Jesus. Being born again, used in tonight's study, is completely an earthly hope with the gift of resurrection from above of the Father. When will those that are saved through Christ's name be born again? In John 6:38-54, I'm going to read through it, and we'll comment when it says it. And this is after the disciples were on the boat headed to Capernaum in the rough seas, and Christ walked up, calmed the sea, and next thing they know they was on dry land. But John 6:38-54, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, the Lord, God, his Father. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father, talking of himself. Not that any man hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He says it again. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I happen to think that sounds familiar. In Exodus 12:8 is the Passover meal, when everybody that was within the house had to eat the flesh of the sacrificial lamb. The blood was on the doorpost, and it was required that everybody within the house eat the lamb as fast as possible, the entire lamb. So, to bring it back to this, Christ is using the bread in the same aspect. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in at the last day. The next Greek form is zoupoio. It is from the same as 2:26. It's to vitalize, make alive, give life, or quicken. It's used three times in John and none in the other Gospels. In John 11, Christ is talking to Martha at the well. And Martha said unto him, talking about her brother that his passed. And Martha said unto them, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Let's do John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, he hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. At the last day is an expression found only in John five times, and it refers to the coming of Messiah, and it's to be used at the end of times, the last, after God is all in all, will be the last day. There's one more Greek form. It's 4806. It's suzoopio. I think that's how it goes. It's to reanimate conjointly, quicken together with. This is used in Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. In Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I just want to thank Chip for posting for me and pray for the conference, those that are speaking, Traveling Graces for those that are traveling to it, and pray especially for Ron as he is in a faraway land where there's not many people there that would accept his testimony. But I thank you, dear Lord, for this day and all that you give us in it. Lord, I ask that you be with those that are on our hearts. Lead, guide, and direct them. Direct their paths. If there's any healing or comforting that they need, Lord, we ask that you give it to them. For it's in all these things that I ask in Christ's name. Amen.